Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, welcome everybody to this 25th of February, this Sunday night, this An Emerging Forest program. The last weekend in February 2018, almost the first 2 months of the season of the year has gone by, the first sixth of the year, not really, because February is a short month, but essentially the first 60 days, the first 59 days, so, you know, the first six of the year, 365 and 60 days are gone. And there's a season in life, and there's a constant thing that we're doing. We're always replacing what has suited us for lessons with things that are coming in, and they're brand new, or they're the same lesson introduced again to master the lesson. And themes come back to us, and you get a big deja vu because you feel a certain way, or there's just some building intensity in your life. Overall, there's a building intensity. And maybe you shed a particular way of life, and you're moving to a new track or a new road or a new way, and things are really slow, and you keep putting yourself out there and and you haven't caught on yet, and you're just in agony because you know, hey, I was so great in that other venue and people recognized my value and I was well compensated, but I can see that area for what it was, and I can't really go back. And so even as much as you liked that way that you were, it's impossible for you to get back there. And maybe you've set up true obstacles for actually getting back there because you knew you might try. You knew you might, quote-unquote, fall back into that way of life because this is where you are now is so painful. So you actually cut yourself off from being that way again somehow. Well, this program's theme is sort of a continuation of subject matter that was introduced last week by David Whitman. He was talking about a show theme called death. And I'm talking about a similar thing because death in the tarot is, which I'm not really talking about, but overall death in the tarot system is, okay, physical death, but moreover, it's more, it's lesser understood theme, or it's lesser understood meaning or intent of bringing across and discussing a particular theme in life is talking about transformation, talking about shedding the old, bringing in the new. And death, the gross death of the body, is supposed to be the ultimate transformation. And I don't know whether it's the ultimate transformation, because you could very well have a lifestyle in one life, die, and take up exactly the same lifestyle in the next life, because you're continuing to explore exactly that same behavior. If this program's theme seems like something you want to join into, and your call, and it is happens to be during the time that I'm actually broadcasting, you are certainly welcome to call in. The call-in number is 646-564-9714. And at this point, I have a blank board except for the host call-in, which is me. So anyone who wants to call in may call in and discuss anything you want to discuss. It doesn't necessarily have to be the theme of tonight's program. So going back into the theme of tonight's program, transformation for me, at least in the most in the recent past, has been, and the reason, one of the reasons why this program was started, was my probably lifelong disappointment at finding people who were doing something that I appreciated. I mean, most people that I found really just didn't click with me. I didn't understand. I guess I don't understand a lot of things that people do. I don't understand marriage, and people would just say, gee, you don't understand marriage, what's wrong with you? Well, I don't know what's wrong with me, but it's not what's wrong with me, it's just what I'm looking for. And I took a job, and I had a job for 9 years, and the people that were certainly in my business were, you know, in my company, most of the people that I associated with there were, I didn't know very many of them very well, but I knew a few pretty well, and some of them were okay with me, but most of the people that I associated with out in the professional ranks, there were some people who I appreciated, but most people I just didn't seem to appreciate, you know, how they conducted themselves, or it just didn't click with me, or maybe I just didn't have a deepening friendship with them for some reason. Well, for whatever reason, I put up a roadblock between that lifestyle and the lifestyle that I'm starting to catch on in. And within the last week or two, I really started to notice that I actually have what I would consider close friends, and people that I can rely on, and people who will follow up, and people who care about me, people who think about me when I'm not thinking about me, and people who are like looking out for me, but I look out for people. I mean, in the produce club, if somebody's constant order is something, I'm always on the lookout for that person. I'm taking care of that part of their life all the time. And it's not a surprise when I find, or it is a surprise to me when I find a really good bargain on something, but I'm buying it because I have that person in mind. I'm always shopping for people. So it's heartening to me for the first time in a great long while in my life that other people have taken up the same care level for me, so that when I have a need for something, I don't realize that how much goodwill I've stored in their personal bank, and they're like, sure, I will help you. And that's really amazing to me, because I've never really had that many close friends, and I believe where I am today in my life, I've actually managed to be real, be myself, do what I really like to do, and be able to be accepted by a group of people, but not just accepted, to have them actually appreciate what I do, regardless of how simple it may seem. I mean, being a produce person is not super complicated, but it does take a lot of work. But for a lot of people, for those people who really appreciate it, they really understand how personal. I mean, I've only begun to even consider how personal and how intimate grocery food creation is. I mean, what is more central to your manifestation than what you eat? And there isn't anything. So it's the water, it's the seed, it's the plants, and I'm not the water, the seed, or the plants. I'm not even the farmer, though maybe I'd like to be the farmer, but I've sort of been pushed away from that by the universe, and I'm that universe being myself, and I'm one who is aware of that, and I don't want to waste my time going into something I've been pushed away from. But to basically be able to help people save a great deal of money every single week to achieve literally a different lifestyle, and then after a certain number of years to have an event happen in my life where I need to actually ask for some help. And to have people just say, oh, okay, what do you need? You know, and to be able to fill my cup up and overfill my cup of what my goals were is, and to have more available, just shows me, even at the smallness of my produce club right now, that I've really touched people. And that they're really there for me, not falsely there for me, but they're really there for me because I'm valuable to them. And I couldn't have any more solid, I mean, that's what I wanted to do for people. I wanted to change their lives. And I have maybe 15 people who, I think I've touched and changed many lives. I had, there was an interview with Melanie Bartlett in which she's related some stories from the West Philadelphia Buying Club that were amazing to me. But just in this most recent event that happened to me, to reach out to people and have a response, or to talk to some of the people who've been in the Produce Club and have been larger purchasers and come into my kitchen and buy and walk out with an overflowing full case of produce every single week for a year and a half or for 2 years, to do that every week, to spend $75 to $120 at my prices, which is to say spend twice that much at Whole Foods or three times that much at Whole Foods. it's literally changing their ability to have a particular life. And they count on me for that. And they showed that to me by saying, what do you need? We need you here. Or they didn't have to say they need me here. They just said it by saying, what do you need? You're important to us. So this has allowed me to have a certain level of confidence. And life is possibly seen as a series of dominoes. Once you get to be able to do something, something begins to be shed in your life. And then you have heart, you have hobbies, you have people that you've reached out to, and that you have, or that I have, I'm not going to use second person on this, that I've reached out to and that I've found to be receptive, or didn't find to be receptive and didn't think they were ever going to change, but just wanted to be there because they were in a desperate time in their life. And then years later, they began to change, and they're a much stronger individual, and they totally changed their perspective on life. And things are beginning to change for that individual, much like myself in 2010, 12, 11, 12, 13. I started a produce club back then. It had to be shelved so that I could focus on my mom's worsening illness and then her passing, which was almost the ultimate, it was the ultimate gift up to that point in my life, because it was an incredibly intense period of being like being mom, basically being on emergency call 24 hours a day, not even sleeping, having my ears were basically pricked to any sound coming from my mom's room down the hallway. And I would just get up and go. I mean, I would be sleeping lightly, but I would just hear the noises. I didn't buy a monitor or anything. I just would go. So my observation of my mom and seeing her with caregivers and seeing her real nature. And her real nature was that she was fooling around. What do I mean by that? Well, she was acting as if she was a demented vegetable who needed my care in my sight. But as soon as I left and she felt that I was not within earshot, the attraction to speak in great detail on very detailed subjects with her caregivers just took her over, and she couldn't stay in character. So she was basically talking about detailed subjects with them, about flowers, about, hikes, about all kinds of very detailed things, about subject matter, about many, many things. And then I would, come back or re-enter the house, maybe I got back from shopping, and she would see me out of the corner of her eye, and her demeanor would molt or pool or flow back into the character that she was supposed to be portraying for me. I mean, who cares she wasn't even thinking that. Here she is in front of someone, and it's just like she's melting in front of their eyes. I mean, they didn't matter to her. The only person that mattered to her was me. She didn't even consider that they were going to come to me later and say, Alan, did you see what just took place? So this is the reality of human beings. This is the reality of human behavior. This isn't some fakery that I'm talking about. And when I saw that, and I considered it happened to me in Vermont with hanging out with someone who seemed to be one thing, but was actually like something was missing. Some cards that I considered that all people had were missing. Something was gone. something was just not there. I was like starting to put together a pattern, starting to observe real people, starting to observe them up close and personal, like getting, not sleeping with them, but being around them and being and doing projects with them, or literally with my mom, being in the same house with her and caring for her hand and foot, lifting her and doing her laundry, and in some cases washing her. She had female caregivers who took care of other things, but and losing my naivete. So in watching people and then seeing people, not the fictional, oh, this is my mom, or oh, this is my friend, but seeing them as they really are, I was shocked because they weren't acting cohesively in character, in one character. Hi, I'm so-and-so, I'm John Smith, and I'm always John Smith, and I'm 100% this way all the time. No, they were three or four or five. I don't know how many different characters they were. And were they conscious of, hey, I'm this character because I'm with you, and I actually want this outcome of my interaction with you? Quite possibly. Were they coming into certain events where I was, but not acting like they had with me because they were in front of other people, and to hell with Alan because he was done with me? Yes. So I started to really observe how these people act. I'll call them these people. I mean, there's other words for how, you know, for broken people, or people who aren't, you know, people who are fragmented. I don't even know what the correct psychological term is for them. I don't really care. I'll make up a new one. I mean, they're broken, or they don't function like me. And I like people who function like me. We've got one contiguous person. We're always saying, I'm true to my person all the way through. I might be very, very diverse, but I'm not going to be, you know, manipulating so-and-so over here by one of my personalities or one of my ways of doing things. So I was able to look at that, and I was able to look at my mom, and I was able to be honest with myself, which is hard when it's your mom. I wasn't able to be honest with myself while she was alive, but I was able to slowly, by a large amount of effort, to be honest with myself once she had passed. And say, why am I so disappointed with people who I interact with? Why am I so, why is something missing from my life? Why don't I associate with very many people? It's because I think I have a sense, just by meeting people, of who are the people that are all together and who are the people that are fragmented. Maybe I do, but I have seen it in several people. I've seen, since I've been honest with people who I care about, that I'm connected to, and I don't want, and I want them to be as least tripped up by this as possible, I talk about my experiences. I talk about my experiences with the two people that I observed this phenomenon with, and I actually get echoes back from those people and feedback where they say, oh my gosh, I saw my mom do that. Or my mom is, you know, is unmasked before my eyes. I've seen this. I don't know what to say. And you realize these things about people who are very, very important to you. I don't think there's anybody who's more important to me than my mom. I mean, she formed the my ethics. She formed how I behaved in society. And so I'm patterning my whole life's behavior after someone who is fragmented and someone who's, you know, okay, she's got like a portion of herself that she's showing and using to manipulate me. And as a contiguous full being, I'm supposed to follow that? Absolutely not. it might be attractive to me, the being the good person might be attractive to me, the way she portrayed herself. But look at it for real. I mean, open your hands up. Look at the book of life and say to yourself, how are we really supposed to act? Look at the world that's being described to you and really look at the sun. Look at where it casts its shadows. Look at it in clouds. It's not far away. Look at the moon on a lightly cloudy night. Look at the illumination ring around it. It's not that far away. Think about walking across a frozen lake. Think about walking across a mile-long frozen lake. You don't get to the end of a mile and all of a sudden fall down 8 inches, but that's what curvature of the earth means. In building, you don't have, in building a building that's literally a quarter of a mile wide, stadiums are a quarter of a mile wide, they don't have to compensate for, I mean, if the earth is a sphere-ish thing, the one spoke at one side of the building is going to be out of plumb with the other spoke to the center of the earth. And they're going to have to compensate for level across the building, or there's going to be serious problems but they never do that. Builders never do that. So there's something really, really wrong with the concept that the earth is round. There's something really, really wrong with the concept that the sun is 93 million miles away. The horizon is only 387 miles away. You can't see that far. You can't see 93 million miles away. The optical resolution of your eyeball doesn't reach that far. So, shedding. Shedding is a process. Shedding is literally what we do and how we grow. Shedding is transformation. Shedding is, we vacuum our shedding up all the time. And this is my first solo program in quite a while, so I'll take the break now. Thank you so much for listening, whenever you're listening. And I'll play Dar of the Bard, Green and Gray. See you after the break.
Came walking into a wooden glade. sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day. High from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil, I'm father to man. I have been here since the earth began. Neither black nor white, priest, hear what I say.
International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
So there is fiction that we were given where everything's pleasant and nice, and Christmas comes every year, and for many people there's a lot of suffering, and Christmas doesn't come every year. But the marketed product is a certain way. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Bastille Day, various cultures around the world, Japanese, Korean, Chinese, German, African American. I'm not someone who knows very much about the African continent or the South American continent. We're sort of, that's sort of the, to use a poor word to describe it, that's the grade school matrix. And that's what we're told is reality. But if the simplest building blocks of that spherical shaped globe that's literally a part of everyone's childhood and in every single classroom everywhere, if that's not right, or if it becomes not right for you, or if you question that, or if you begin to question not the small things about life, you begin to question the big things about life because you started to unravel the small things in life. I didn't ask those big questions. I wasn't ready for those big questions. I was ready for the small questions. Why are my parents dying? Why are they dying? What are they doing to themselves that's making them die? What's the physiology? How can I understand this physiology? Is it something to do with diet? What are the different diet possibilities? Is it something to do with medicine? And then to find out some issues in medicine, and then to move on from medicine and dip my mind in the criminal enterprise known as banking. And then to begin to understand the large, and then say, oh my goodness, if there's this disparity between keeping people healthy and an industry to make capitalist money, and if there's a few feeding at the trough of the banking industry in order to keep the rest of the livestock occupied, is the overall structure of society as we're given it, is that a marketed product? I mean, did it grow organically, or was it artificial? Has it been guided down roads just like all of the various types of dog have been guided down roads for the amusement of the creator of that particular breed? Since from dogs we know that was the case, they were for the amusement of royalty, let's say that there isn't a much bigger game going on for the amusement. I mean, the The analogy I can draw is there's a U.S. movie called Trading Places, where two stockbrokers bet a dollar that they can't take one person of a quote unquote low from the gutter, raise him up to the top, and take one person from the top and throw him into the gutter. Money isn't the object. Amusement is the object. But that would get into pointing fingers, and I don't think we need to point fingers. I don't think it's reasonable to point fingers, because we're not here for pointing fingers. We're here, and we're in our position in life. We need the lessons that we're receiving, because we get them millions and millions of times in order to get the goal for why we go through the experience. A million isn't even a number that is close to how many times we go through the same experience. That's why you get deja vu, because you're such a deep individual and you're so old that we can't even comprehend the age of us, much less the age of our playground. Hi, you're in your playground. It's created by your mind. Yes, you're that powerful. Get over it. You're living your day for your own amusement, but you're living your day not for your amusement, but to grow your character. And if you're waking up, if you're looking around and you're saying, this just doesn't taste good anymore, you're done with this manufactured reality. Maybe you're going to be the one that's going to manufacture the next one. But something is falling away before your eyes. You've seen banking for what it is. A bunch of guys in a back room printing money, and some of them go out and call themselves big winners, because they get first dibs at the money and they know all the changes that are going to happen. Kind of a fixed game, but it is supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be rigged, because you could go look at this as being a glorified psychiatric ward, and you're trying to wake up, or you're trying to go to sleep, or you're trying to go in whatever direction you're supposed to be going in. And the person who's doing the opposite of what you're doing can't communicate with you. They have to say, well, I've tried so hard for so long to communicate with this individual. I can't. Well, there's a reason. You're not on the same wavelength. To not be on the same wavelength as my mother, I'm her son. To not be on the same wavelength as my mother, to not be on the same wavelength as my father. I was supposed to be close to this individual, but I was only close because they generated the seeds that bore me. We are not close to anyone else except those we gravitate toward, and to those we're only a little bit similar. We're wildly different. We've been so many different places. Oh, so we have some common experience. But what about the other 100% of yourself that's not like anyone from around here? Everyone's a complete stranger, and it's an honor to meet every single person, because they have so much to share. But some people, for me, most people, have that missing thing that I call a contiguous personality, that I call, hey, I'm consistently Alan Ritter 100% of the time. I go through my entire day and I'm consistently Alan Ritter. Every person that I interact with, I'm always Alan Ritter, this character. I'm always this face. I'm not another face. I don't bring out I need to get this response out of this person, so I'm going to be this other character. I have seen the other way of doing business. It scared the crap out of me. And I began to wonder how many people are like that. And I think I came to the realization that there's a lot of people out there that are like that. But there are also a lot of people who are going in different directions than I am. Maybe there's a lot of people out there that are going to sleep. Okay? That seems to be maybe that's the predominant direction. I don't want to say it is. So, what is going on here is not even describable in a science fiction novel. I mean, it's part Frank Herbert's Dune. Frank Herbert's Dune describes the desolation of the biomass that we find ourselves in. This is 100% of the biomass is in the poles. It's gone. This used to be, I mean, we're so low in fertility generating biomass that this form that we find ourselves in is something that can be dominated so easily, something that doesn't have an immune system to fight back well at all. It's just, I guess you could say, it's like a sleeper zone. We need to decide what we're doing next, or every person decides what they're doing next, and it's not all going to be even remotely the same, but it's your way. And you should do that. And I don't care whether you're a meat eater or a plant eater or a mass murderer or a housewife or a computer programmer or a painter. Whatever is right for you is right for you. Directions, omnidirectional diversity. And valuing omnidirectional diversity is what we're here for. But on top of that, we're here to say there's more wealth and more experience for everyone in a more fertile earth. And people can dominate more easily in a less fertile earth. So what they do is they bring the earth's fertility down to a certain level where they can dominate, and they feel good about themselves, maybe. But I don't like to point fingers. I like to say, hey, they're performing a function for everyone else. Everybody's here because of a bargain. The bargain is I get to experience something that I need to experience here. But there are people who are having an ego trip because they think they're in, you know, they think they're rich, and there are people who are riding around in cars thinking that they've made it and they've hit the big time. But that's a model from somebody who's an actor who knows better. So all of very little, it gets trumped by having higher level of fertility and having just a fraction of way much more. But you don't get to dominate someone else. And domination is something that is needed. We need to study it. We need to live it. That's how humans study it. They get together with a few billion souls or a few hundreds of or a few unnumbered number of cooperating souls, and they say, hi, angels, I need to have this experience. Are you willing to fulfill the following roles for me in order to have that experience? And everyone says, we love you. We want to see you progress. And they get together and have that experience. So don't think that there's an injustice being done to you. Don't point fingers at other people. But if you want something to change, there's only one road to change it, the road of hard work. That's the road of long-term, multi-lifespan hard work. for lesser numbers of lifespan and a lot of self-care to make sure your body lasts. And I would recommend a low residual waste lifestyle, which includes a lot of fruit and a lot of greens. And I'm trying to get there. But in the meantime, if I don't get there, if that's a next lifetime thing for me, I want to leave my mark. I want to leave waves. I want to leave product. And just in the last 2 years, I've left a lot of product. I've left a lot of product with people who I talk to, with people who I've studied with people who I serve. So, I mean, I say this to myself, I don't want to die today, but transitioning to a new life, I've already been given so much in this life. I've already had, you know, seen so much value in this life. I think everybody's the same. So if there's a sudden transition, that's the way life is. Look at reality. Be reality. If someone dies in your life, look at reality. Look at sadness. If somebody leaves you in your life, there's a change in your life. You need that change. You need to stare at reality. You need to go outside and you need to say, how much of reality can I look at? Who am I? What are my passions in life? What do I want to do in my life? And one of my old therapists said, sometimes you have to be brutal to yourself. Every night for years, I didn't know how to get out of where I was. I didn't know how to get out of the trap. And I would just curl up in bed and pray to myself, saying, I don't care what you have to do to me. I don't care what you have to do to me. Do whatever you need to do to me to make me into what I need to be in order to move on. Because I was stuck, or I thought I was stuck. And the places that I've been were the ultimate in first throwing away the value of myself and saying I'm worthless because of the things I've done. I am absolutely worthless. I couldn't even take care of my own mother. And then to realize that I took care of her with more kindness, gave of myself beyond what anyone else that was watching me give would have ever done, and to have people tell me this, and to understand that I observed her and was able to get so much value out of observing her, and that she got something that was outside of the envelope of normal society, and she needed that. She didn't need the hospital or the nursing home. She needed to essentially die in her home among people who cared for her, not as a hospital cares for you, not in personal care. And to come out of that, understanding myself, valuing myself. I mean, I'm not going to tell everybody that I had a great time. I look back on it and I understand it was a great time. I mean, I go to the gym and on the back extension machine, I can casually put up 10 reps of 250 and 10 reps of 270. When I, you know, after I came in 2014, after I was isolated for 18 months, I had no muscle tone. I had a huge head of white hair. I had a huge white beard. I looked like a dead homeless person. I was in the cardiac wing of a particular mainline hospital for 5 days because my potassium was so low. I was in and out of their psychiatric ward maybe 4 or 5 times. I knew the last time I went in there, the door closed on me, and I was like, the answers to my problem are not here. The answers to my problem were on the floor back in my apartment, just waiting, searching for answers and not finding them until you turn the corner. And there are the answers in the darkest pits of complete anti-self. Nothing is here for me anymore. You find that, no, that's not what's right, that everything is here for you. It's not that nothing is your gift. It's that everything is your gift. It's not that there's no reason to live. It's that every single thing that comes to you is a reason to live. And it is a reason to rejoice, regardless of what's coming to you. If knives are coming to you, then you're training with knives. If the wall of shit is coming for you, then it's time to be a fucking plumber. Sorry, I don't use that word that much. Life is bittersweet. Life is agony. Life contains suffering until you understand that it doesn't contain any of those things ever. Ever. It's not about the programming of the outside world. It's about your perception of reality. If you wish to remove all suffering from your life, to never suffer again, ever, then remove it from your life and never suffer again, ever. Out beyond the notions of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll see you there. That's by Rumi. The place that you are right now, God circled on a map for you. That's Hafiz. Those are the foundational ideas that you have to live through and look at in your life. You are a whole character. You are not a nice person. You are the whole cup. You are not the base. You are not the globe. You are not the wine in the cup. You are the whole cup. You are not the flower. You're the shit that formed the soil that the flower grew in, and the flower, and the air. How did you think you survived in all of your previous incarnations other than to be something that wasn't quite nice? Something that pulled something else down in order to survive? You think you were basically, you know, oh, I've got a bow tie on. I never did those things. No, those are the things that you do first because they're the easiest to do. And then you develop a style, but you're actually got the knife in your other hand. We've been groomed to look away from our other half or our other 3/4 or our other 90% because it's not nice. My name is Alan Ritter, and I have a small produce club in the southeastern Pennsylvania, southern New Jersey area. And if you're in that area and you want to use my service, understand a little better the agricultural system, understand that when you're in a terminal town, I'm 7 minutes from the store, the bulk wholesale store, and there's inefficiency in a large fire hose of conveyor belt produce, organic produce and conventional produce, that basically they have extra stuff, time to throw it away. They don't throw it away. They put a free price on it. You know, what was $70 is now $5 or $3. And if you know where that is at the market and you can show up at the right time, you can take it home, and it's not that hard. You can change your life. You can change your life with your perspective. You can change your life by finding the inefficiencies in this crazy world that we live in. You can also email me. My email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. I'll talk about food. I'll talk about life. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to talk about, I'll talk about changing your perspective. I have one student who is, you know, I gave him a piece of work and he's gone away and he's thinking about that. I don't know whether he'll come back. He's someone who reads all of my posts that I post on Facebook. I'm Alan Ritter. You can on Facebook. I'll be a cardinal in the upcoming CNN production of Pope, the most powerful man in history. It was hilarious because I was actually in the promo that was run. It's running on for the CNN, that CNN show. The first broadcast, the first episode is on Sunday, March 11th at, I think it's at 9 or 10 p.m., which is hilarious because it's my showtime for this show. So, if anyone is helped by these programs, I'd like to do things for free. If you feel interested in donating to me, this is what I do. I don't ask for donations, or I didn't. But I live in the real world. But this is one of my passions. I like to help people. I don't even look at it as being help. If you're interested in what I have to say, maybe you can remove suffering from your life without changing anything about your life. Just changing your definition of what's in your head. Because I'm not a dietitian. I don't say, hey, we want you to be raw vegan. Although there are advantages maybe to being raw vegan. I think you can be whoever you are right now and just basically say, hey, I don't suffer anymore. And they'll say, why? And they'll say, some guy said, you know, there isn't any suffering, and I believe that. I mean, reduce your stress level like in a finger snap. It's not that easy. I had to go through some pretty hard places to get to there. But on the other hand, I did it in less than 10 years. Maybe I did it in 12 years. And on the scale of forever, that's pretty short, isn't it? It's not even an eye blink. I don't know how long my lessons are going to last. I hope they last a while. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting the show. Laurie Cagno will be back on in a couple weeks. We're working on some interesting concepts there. That'll be more than one episode, I hope. I hope my programs have been interesting. I hope I can continue to provide interesting content. I think I will. Because, you know, the more you put yourself out there, the more you push yourself into a new mold, the more you become a new person. The more you don't think like you used to, the more you look back on who you were and say, oh my goodness, that was me? And it's not because you're earning buku bucks. It's because you're over here doing something else. Have a good night. See you in March.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.